And you're pleased to 2 Kings chapter 9. Second Kings chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, Gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thine hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in, and make him arise up from among his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil, and pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have appointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee, and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, Unto which of all us? And he said, To thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his lord, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, You know the man and his communication. And they said, It is false. Tell us now. And he said, Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted, and took every man his garment, and put it under him on the top of the stairs, and blew with the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, If it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go to tell it in Jezreel. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel. And he spied the company of Jehu as he came, and said, I see a company. And Joram said, Take an horseman, and send to meet them, and let him say, Is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him, and said, Thus saith the king, Is it peace? And Jehu said, What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, The messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. Then he set out a second on horseback, which came to them, and said, Thus saith the king, Is it peace? And Jehu answered, What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, He came even unto them, and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, Make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace? so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, there is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. And in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have, as we continue on in the history here, a changing of the guard in the northern kingdom and in the southern kingdom. And both are on account of the wickedness of the two men that had occupied the office of a king. And so the first thing that we want to remember as we read a passage like this is that height of station does not excuse a person's sinfulness. As a matter of fact, often it aggravates it. Think of that for a moment. When a king makes an idolatrous error, he draws not only himself and his family, but his subjects under potential judgment. So, we have Joram and Ahaziah. And so, Elisha rises up and says to one of the young men, the children of the prophets, says, I want you to go anoint Jehu. You ought to be thinking right about now of 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah was upon the mountain of God, and he was standing at that entrance to the cave, and he wrapped his head in his mantle, and he heard the voice of the Lord, which told him, you get down this mountain and minister to my 7,000. I'm not yet done. You're going to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, which he did in the last chapter. Not by a true anointing, but by permission, when he told him, you will be king in the room of Ben-Hadad. And so Hazael is now king. We remember what Hazael did, right? He waterboarded Ben-Hadad until he was dead. He put that wet cloth over his face and he died. He drowned. So in that sense, it was not Elijah, but Elisha in that wonderful succession that God had in mind there. Remember, and remember the use we made of that. You know, gathering yourself up into a mountain somewhere, what's the succession in that? And so we see now that Elisha, not Elijah, is the one who has anointed, in that sense, Hazael to be king, and now Jehu over Israel. And that was the other thing that was told him that Elijah would do, and he does it in the person of Elisha as he casts his mantle upon him. So the young man goes, and he does exactly as Elisha tells him. He calls Jehu aside. And it seems like there's a little bit of soldierly kind of ribbing going on here, right? Because what happens is he comes in and he says, "I've got a message for you, Captain." Jehu says, "For whom? For me or for all of us?" And he says, "For you." And so away they go into a private room. They come back in. The man just leaves. He just furiously rides out of there as soon as he's done. Because the changing of the guard is what? Well, that's a difficult time. There's people that die during such times as that. And so he anoints him and hightails it out of there, just like Elisha told him to do. And so he comes back in and he sits back down as if nothing happened. So what did that madman want? In and out like a whirlwind. Whoosh! And Jehu says, "Oh, you know those prophets. You know how they are." Well, what did he say? Certainly it was false. And they're just kind of, you know, joking. It's this jovial, they're sitting around having a good time. And then Jehu says, "Well, he anointed me king over Israel." What? And so immediately they put him at the top of the stairs. They cast their garments on the stairs and they give him a royal entrance. And so even those hardened soldiers that were, well, you know, it's probably false. As soon as they hear what the pronouncement of the prophets were or was, what do? They get after it. And so Jehu says, "Okay, we've got a job to do. We know that Joram is laid up in Jezreel. So we need to get down there and take care of business." And so Jehu says to them, "If it be your mind as it is mine, then let's keep this anointing a secret at this point so that no one escapes from this city to go and give them advance warning." Okay. All right. So Jehu has a pretty good start here. It seems that he's pretty sagacious, pretty wise. And so he rides straight to Jezreel. And so Ahaziah and Joram, they're kind of watching, and they, you know, and Joram says, "Who's that out there?" The watchman says, "There's somebody riding. He's coming in. He's coming in fast." And so he says, "Well, send a messenger out to him." And so, "Thus saith the king, is it peace?" And Jehu says, "What do you have to do with peace? Get behind me." Now, if you're wondering what that means, Jehu makes it clear when he has his face-to-face with Joram or Jehoram, when he says to him, "How can there be peace when the whoredoms, the idolatry of your mother Jezebel is spread throughout the land?" And so the messenger comes and says, "Thus saith the king, is it peace? You don't have anything to do with peace as long as the land is under this kind of reign, this kind of rule, this kind of idolatrous rule. There can be no peace. And peace is an empty word. What do you have to do with peace? Get behind me." That's what Jehu means when he says that. And so, after the second rider also joins Jehu's force, then the watchman says to Joram, "This looks like Jehu. He's riding furiously." And he says, "Well, we know what that means. Make ready." And so Ahaziah and Joram both go out to oppose Jehu and his forces. In the next chapter, we're going to read, two kings stood up against this guy and they couldn't prevail. What chance do we think we have? And so there's this interchange that goes between them. And Joram asks the question, "Is it peace?" And Jehu says, "What do you have to do with peace?" And so Joram, it's apparent that he surveyed Jehu's forces, Jehu's zeal, Jehu's manner, and he looks at his forces and he turns to Ahaziah and he says, "There's treachery, Ahaziah. We got to get out of here." And so off they go. They take off. And Jehu is not going to be thwarted here. And so he pulls a bow with all of his strength and he shoots Ahaziah. and it hits Joram in the back, probably through his armor, right through his armor, and came out at his heart. We have to recognize what an archer that Jehu was. He shows his prowess there, right? Okay, so then, same thing with Ahaziah. And Ahaziah was killed as well because he was an idolater. Remember that Athaliah is in the southern kingdom at this time. And he is giving her help and comfort. And Athaliah's ways are now spreading over the kingdom. And so Ahaziah is also killed. And his servants carry him back and they bury him. And then we have this final scene with Jezebel. And notice how confident she is. She's so very confident. So into Jezreel they come. And Jehu looks up and hears Jezebel, and she hears that Jehu's coming. And so what does she do? She puts on her makeup. She paints her face and probably dresses herself up in her best duds. Oh, surely such a woman of beauty as I cannot be had. They will recognize their folly when they see me in my glory, in my best duds. And so Jehu rides in, and she puts her head out the window and she says, "Tell me, how did it work for Zimri when he rebelled against his king? What do you think the end of this is, Jehu? You're rebelling against now me, the queen. What do you think I'm going to do?" And Jehu calls out, "Who is with me?" And three eunuchs poke their heads up. "We are. We're with you. Throw her down." And so they did. And they threw her down. And we read that Jehu went in to eat and to drink and to take his place as the king of the northern kingdom. And when they came back out to bury her, all they found were the palms of her hands and the tops of her feet and her skull, according to the word of the prophet Elijah, who said, "The dogs will eat Jezebel in Jezreel." And I hope also that you noticed, and we'll close with this, that this whole scenario turned on a particular piece of ground: Naboth's vineyard. And so let us remember that the Lord never forgot Naboth. Although Ahab's sons forgot him, and they went ahead even after the death of Ahab, they went on ahead and kept that land and kept that garden of spices, whereas they always had an opportunity to return it to Naboth, that God did not forget Naboth and his uprightness and his refusal to give away the Lord's inheritance. And so the Lord brought then all of that theft and murder down upon the heads of those guilty ones. All right. Well, that ends the reading of 2 Kings chapter 9, leaving a lot on the table there in both readings, but using more time than is allotted. So let's stand and continue praising God.